Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast with your co-hosts, Gary Baker, Foster Brown, and their team of experts. Since 1998, this program has been helping people like you with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources and programs, and promoting tech businesses in our area. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program heard weekly on WJR 760 AM in Detroit and across the state on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, Foster Brown with you, the co-host of the show, and we've got a good one today. We're going to be checking in with Jack Zaran, who is the president of Pinkerton, the oldest private detective agency in the nation, and they're moving to our area. You'll be hearing more about that and a special bonus interview part of that, too. And then we have a special in-studio guest co-host who's going to be here for our program. I'll wait to introduce him a little bit later on, but it's going to be a whole lot of fun on today's Internet Advisor. It's always a pleasure to welcome you folks to our show. My name is Foster Brown, the co-host of this merry band, and with me, of course, is my friend Gary Baker. How are you doing, Gary?
It's great to be here, and happy birthday.
Thank you. It's a little ahead of time. Monday's
well, Monday is. It's not much ahead of time. We can celebrate all week.
Thank you, Betty. Well, it's a happy birthday cake time, at least.
And the best part is, as tradition dictates around here, we have a birthday cake for
That's
you,
right.
And we share that with all of our listeners. They get to have virtual cakes.
So. Yes, you will. And just
It's a lot less calories.
We'll post the virtual cake so you can slice a little piece off for yourself. Oh, thank you very much, Gary. And with us is that jolly king of the ice rink, Cal Carson.
You've been called many things. That's the first time that you've been called that, however.
You are correct. I have been called many things, and that might be one of them. Yep, really is great to be back. I tell you, you have this affliction for this microphone.
And I know.
After you're away for a while, it kind of...
I know.
Congratulations, Foster.
Didn't you
just celebrate one of these about a year ago?
About a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I did. And I'm not telling you how many. One other person in studio with us today, and I'm delighted to introduce him to you folks as well, is Jeff Harter. He's one of our listeners who is also the owner of PC Gladiator, which is a computer shop out on the west side in Livonia. Am I right, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
And delighted to have you in here.
Sounds a little dangerous, right? PC Gladiator. Maybe fun.
It's a pleasure to be here.
When you battle viruses all day long, I guess Gladiator is a pretty good tune.
Good point.
A continuing movie fighting disc to disc.
Now, Jeff, in your you are selling and you're also repairing computers as well in your shop, right?
Yeah, we started buying broken and fixing them and selling them.
Oh.
That's how the business started back in 2009. And we celebrated our 5 years anniversary.
Good for you.
This last July.
That's wonderful.
Was this kind of a dream to come true, to be able to do your own?
Oh, absolutely. I love it. I do it all day long, and even in my sleep, I do it.
Yeah. You're in good company. That's why I thought you'd be good on the air with us.
Well, just for fun, Jeff, what did you do before you became a computer rehabilitator?
I was tech service for a paint company, and I traveled all around Mexico and Canada 17 years.
Wow.
And then... last September, I
started doing this full-time.
Full-time.
Became a free enterprise agent.
It's a great opportunity for people that don't want to go out and buy a brand new one.
Absolutely.
Right?
And we're going to be talking about that as well, because I know a lot of people looking at their XP machine saying, what am I going to do now? And you've got some good answers in there as well as repairing.
Absolutely.
But I thought it would be good to have somebody with us to help answer questions in our second hour as well. So, Jeff, we're looking forward to that. Jeff Harter, and he is from PC Gladiator in Livonia. Also with us is Mr. Mike Brennan. How you doing, Mike?
Happy 39 again, Foster.
Again.
You're almost right. 38 plus 30, that's what it is. That'll be my 68th year coming up. But, Mike, good to have you with us.
Thanks, Foster. Always a pleasure.
Mike is the editor of MI Tech News, and what we do at this time in our program, the beginning of it, is to go through some of the headlines and then to tell you about how you can get all those headlines delivered to you every Friday on your computer absolutely free. So, Mike, let's take a look at some of the headlines out there. One I saw looks really kind of neat is about Detroit Homecoming.
Yeah, it's going to be a big, big party, but it's only for a select few. And in fact, it's by invitation only, so I'm not sure if any of us will be invited. But what they're trying to invite is people that have been successful who have roots in Michigan. Either they were born here and left, or they attended school here. The guy that's heading it up, or one of the guys that's heading it up, is Jim Hayes, who is a native New Yorker but worked at the Sports Illustrated Detroit office, loved Michigan, moved back here, and now he's trying to get other what he calls expats to come back to Michigan.
He's the publisher of Fortune, I think I saw you have here.
Yeah, the last paying job he had was the publisher of Fortune magazine.
But it's so neat that he's trying to recruit other Michiganders who have been, if you will, exiled or have left the area to come back.
Or just left and want to come back. And there are a lot of really important people.
Matter of fact, coming up in our conversation soon with Jeff Saran, who is the president of Pinkerton, we're going to find out that he actually is coming back to his roots. We'll talk more about that in just a moment with Jeff coming up. Another headline I saw here is a novelist-turned-fiction writer publishes his second St. Isidore novella. This is a writer writing, about stories based here in Michigan?
No, not really. Just based out of his imagination. Rod Cackley, him and I did a radio show a number of years ago together that was based out of Grand Rapids and then syndicated around the state. And I've known Rod forever. But he's kind of like me. You know, you get tired of writing news copy because it's pretty straight stuff. Yeah. And so he's gone into writing some really cool fiction. He's explained some of the plot lines to me. And it's all, you know, started with, if a girl got kidnapped by a teacher, what would happen next? Honest to God, that's where it started.
I'll be there.
And so he's built two novellas already, and he's writing a third, and he's having a good time.
Well, we lost Dutch Leonard this last year, author of many great novels, so we got a new one on the way, and that's Rod Cackley, right?
Cackley.
Look for those. It's the St. Isidore, and that'll be the locus, kind of the thread. One final one before we take a little bit of a break here. It's a grow your own business through exporting. Tips to get started. That's coming up.
Yeah, Automation Alley has been really, really good at this. They do a lot of trade missions. They do a lot of stuff to help companies here in Southeast Michigan, the 10-county area, get into international markets, because if they have the right products for those markets, they can do really, really well.
Well, want to get hold of these kind of pieces of information, much, much more, from headlines to learning about opportunities to get in front of a venture capitalist, simply go to internetadvisor.net and click on that subscribe now button next to Mike's smiling face, and you'll get MI Tech News with these headlines and many more delivered to you every Friday. Thanks, Mike, for being with us, and stay tuned, folks. Next up, it's going to be Pinkerton in Michigan. It's my distinct pleasure to introduce you to somebody who is in charge of a company that has had, I think, one image and is about to break into a whole new look. And it's happening right here in our metropolitan Detroit area. I'm talking about Jack Saran, who is with us. He's the president of Pinkerton. And Jack, thank you very much and welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you, Foster. Thanks for having us.
Delighted to have you here. I talk about, the traditional image because Pinkerton evokes a whole lot in the American mind because, my goodness, you've been around for a long time, well before the Civil War, and it's been everything from a detective agency to almost like a Secret Service. Why don't you talk a little bit about the history of Pinkerton and how you've come to be here in the Ann Arbor area?
Sure. Pinkerton was founded in 1850 by Allen Pinkerton. So from a history perspective, that means we've been around for 164 years, which makes us one of the oldest corporations in American history. And so over that 164 years, I think what you hit on is we've been involved in a lot of different things. But we started off originally as a detective agency, and through the years we've evolved into where we are today, which is a global risk management firm.
Explain that a little bit, because I've heard the term before. Why don't you explain that a little bit?
What we do today in terms of global risk management is really help identify threats and help manage risk on behalf of organizations. And so I guess what that means is we try to protect the health of a company. So think about if you go to a doctor, you know, you go there to get checkups, and what you try to get a sense of is there anything wrong so you can prevent from being sick. And so I think that's kind of a good analogy for us. So we look to try to protect the health of organization, sure, by identifying something that could be wrong, but also help mitigate things by managing risk for them. So focus on their core business, and we can help specialize and focus on a changing risk landscape,
right,
that's
right,
very difficult to keep up with now.
So we're talking about Jack Zoran, who is the president of Pinkerton, now based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But so your idea that Pinkerton has always been about looking for vulnerabilities and protecting people from potential attacks. And that has been, you know, both physical attacks, but it could be any number of different kind of risks that you developed into. Now, Pinkerton was initially U.S.-based. Is it international now as well?
Yeah, we're a global company now. We have approximately 55 offices worldwide, and we operate in North, South, wow, America, Africa, Middle East, Europe, and Asia, and India. So there's we're just about in every continent around the world. So.
Now, your move to Ann Arbor. First of all, you've been located. Your home offices have been located where up at this point?
Yeah, headquarters was previous to coming to Ann Arbor was in New Jersey, and that's New Jersey Parsippany. So right, we recently, like you said, moved it to Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Now, Jack, that is for us both a delightful news that a company of your stature is moving into our metropolitan Detroit area, but it's also kind of a mystery in the sense that the East Coast there around New York, where you were in New Jersey, is, of course, an incredible hub of activity, business, et cetera, et cetera. What would cause you to move from there to the Midwest, to Ann Arbor?
Pinkerton actually was founded in the Midwest. Wanted to do is as we kind of evolve as a company, we wanted to go back to where we started, and we were born in the Midwest, and so that was kind of the first aspect. And then as we move into kind of the new Pinkerton, having access to high tech employees is really important to us. But also, if you look at the geography here, from a business resiliency standpoint, it makes a lot of sense to be in the heart of the country, because it's unlike the coast. We don't have to worry about hurricanes coming.
That's true.
Also from what we find Ann Arbor specifically, it is a place people want to live. So from a recruiting and standard of living standpoint, it's a very attractive place to be. So you throw in the culture, the business sense in terms of access to talent. In terms of Michigan, manufacturing is an important segment to us, and so being close to that sector is also a huge, huge plus for us.
Now, Jack, when you talk about access to tactically skilled workers, this is something that we've been concerned about and have heard a lot of concern about, is that, there's a tremendous demand out there, but we don't really seem to have enough people. It sounds like, from your point of view, though, there are plenty of people out here to help Pinkerton, at least, get into this particular area.
Yeah, because if you really start to analyze the skill set, Michigan has a huge research and development base, and that becomes, a significant strategic advantage. And as that skill set gets even more critical to compete in kind of a connected global marketplace, obviously being close to that makes a lot of sense.
Now, you mentioned research facilities and being involved in research. Tremendous research hub there in the Ann Arbor area, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Obviously, the University of Michigan is a world-class, right, institution, and again, the benefit of just walking down the street to be where that research is emanating out of, it just makes a lot of sense.
We're talking with Jack Zoran, who is the president of Pinkerton, a famous company that, matter of fact, one of the oldest companies in the United States, has continuously served us, and now global as well. And Jack, I want to thank you very much for having been with us here on the Internet Advisor. We're excited that you're in town and that you're developing an exciting aspect of the business, which really ties into one of the most powerful aspects of our area, and that is the research that's going on.
Look, we're thrilled to be here. And we're again very excited that we're able to start to plant roots where we started, which is in the Midwest.
That's excellent, Jack. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the time.
That was an interview that I did yesterday with Jack Saran, who is the president of Pinkerton. He couldn't be with us in our studios today, so I thought I'd do that. Now, what happened, by the way, was the interview was quite a bit longer, guys. So what I thought we'd do is I took about another 8 minutes of interview there. We didn't have time for on our show today because of other people that we have coming in.
Hey, so we should podcast this. What a great idea.
There you go.
Wow,
there you go.
Foster.
And if you go now to internetadvisor.net, you will see that right underneath the story about Jack's being on the air with us, there is a little, it says bonus. And if you click on that, it'll take you to a SoundCloud file that you can play. And that will have another 8 minutes of my conversation with Jack. And what she talks a little bit more is fascinating about how they're transitioning from being, you know, like his personal bodyguard. They still are all over the globe. You know, they're kind of the people who are in places like Iraq and places like that. They're guarding people who are traveling there, or business people in Mexico or in Belgium. And they're taking that and then they're now applying that to the risk management involved with the digital world around us. And it's so cool that they're in Ann Arbor.
So now, we almost always put up photos of the people that are our guests on the show. Mm-hmm. I got on our homepage today, yeah, and I saw the photos of the three guys. I'm going, whoa.
Yes. No, they are not in studio.
Wow, those guys are. And then, okay, so that was in 1870 that picture
was
taken.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Those were the founders of the Pinkerton.
Exactly. It's matter of fact, the man who founded it in 1850, this would have been 70, 20-some-odd years later, was William A. Pinkerton, who's in the center there.
Yep.
That's a founder's son. And then two of his agents, Pat Connell and Sam Finley. What's interesting, you know, that
and then Jack's photo was down a little.
Yeah, Jack's. Okay. What's interesting is about Pinkerton, some of the things I didn't know about them was that, among other things, the first woman detective was a Pinkerton agent.
Really?
I think it was 1855, a woman approached Pinkerton and said, look, you need to have a woman out there working with you, like in deep cover, or, you know, getting this extra information from you by able to, you know, kind of get into the conversation with the people that you're
looking at. First one
much more easily
Pinkerton,
than men.
Eh?
And
you know, that brings up
they're very progressive even back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it brings up a question. What's the difference in a private eye and a spy?
Ah, very good question. I'll have to ask him the next time I see him.
Yeah.
Hey, in just a minute, we're coming back and we're going to meet formally. We're going to meet our co-host who's in studio with us, and that's Jeff Harter from PC Gladiator. In just a moment here as we continue. One of my great pleasures, I have to say, kind of a guilty pleasure on my part, is that every now and then we get to have somebody who is a listener join us in our studios here. And today it's kind of a double whammy, double blessing, because the person who's in studio with us, Jeff Harter, has been listening to us for a while. And he's also the owner of a company called PC Gladiator. It's one of those local community computer shops that, by the way, was referred to us by one of your very satisfied customers. And we had you, as a matter of fact, as part, if you go to the bottom of our page, part of that Your Trusted Computer Repair Shop. So, Jeff Harter, welcome to the studio here.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you with us as well. You come highly recommended. But first of all, let's talk a little bit about your background and PC Gladiator. We were talking a little bit in the break about that. How did you get into that business?
It was probably 98. When I tore apart my first Sony Vaio, I bought it on eBay, and I paid way too much. And when I got it home, I had torn it all apart and realized it had water damage.
Oh.
So that was my first claim. But that was probably the start of it all, was probably 98. I mean, before, you know, we had Commodore 64.
Well, had you been a tinkerer? Because we know that with Ed, and I think, Cal, you've been a tinkerer, haven't you?
Does the Pope get up on Sunday? I've tinkered all my life.
I've destroyed many machines and tinkered a bit.
You know, actually, to the roots of just business itself. If it wasn't for tinkering, I wouldn't have never owned my first computer because they were too darn expensive. Yeah. So I would do stuff like either hang around auctions or I'd go around places where they were scrapping junk and, you know, I'd find a case and then I'd find a power supply somewhere else and this and that. Or I'd go to a business like Jeff's and I'd go like, okay, then I have to buy the memory and maybe a hard drive.
Yeah.
And then sooner or later that Frankenstein box would become a computer.
Yeah, there's not a day that goes by that I don't learn something new. Every day I learn something new. For example, if you've ever taken apart a MacBook keyboard, there's just an enormous amount of screws in a MacBook keyboard. There's I think there's about 50 that hold it in. Yeah.
To hold the keyboard itself?
Yeah, and I did my first one about a few months back. Never did one before, but now I know how to do it.
So you started in 98 by doing, you were hands-on doing these kind of things, but you didn't open your business for quite a while.
No, we opened in 09, but before that, it was Craigslist. It was meeting people in not-so-safe places, but that's basically how the business got off. And Craigslist, word of mouth.
And they wanted to buy a refurbished computer?
No, I mean, it was as much as meeting them, picking them up, fixing it, and meeting them again.
Okay.
I mean,
I got you. Okay, that's how it started, your repair.
And that was probably... You know, 2003, 2004,
maybe
as early as then.
Okay. So you began to build that, both the expertise of having your hands in the machines and finding out that it takes 50 screws to get
correct.
The keyboard out of the Mac.
You know, Macs came in maybe a couple of years back. You know, logic boards were easy. You know, the easy stuff, screens, but, you know, I'm doing more and more now. Macs don't break, so... I mean, you don't get, you know, on an average, it's probably 5%.
I have to agree
with
you.
Into the shop.
My newest MacBook Pro has not broken. The one I had before that broke continually. I had to replace a screen on it and a whole bunch of other things. Cal, what were you going to say something? Are we taking Mac's name in vain here?
Not necessarily. And I wasn't even going to talk about the Mac issue at all. But I did want to talk to Jeff. You know, what inspired you to get involved in a PC repair shop? Because, you know, lately, because it becomes such a commodity, people don't normally repair them. They go like, oh, it's not working. I'll toss it out, go out and buy another one. And it's a very, very low-margin business.
Yeah.
What inspired you to want to do this?
It's the interaction with the people. I hear you talk on the show, that personal touch. And you get that every day at my shop. You know, I love working with people. And I do not like people getting taken advantage of.
Where do you see that happening, that you react to that?
Taking advantage?
Yeah.
It could be other computer shops. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, even the big shops selling them.
Typically, what is that about?
For example, we talked about upgrading from XP to 7. If somebody brought a computer into my shop that had XP and it didn't meet the absolute minimum requirements, I wouldn't fix it. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe that's, you know, on my part, I'm turning away business. But, you know, I have a moral that, you know, if it's going to cost $200 to $300, you know, I'm telling the customer, we're going to get you a new one.
Sure.
And we're going to move all your data.
It's interesting to hear you say that because so often we hear people talking about moving up and, and if, can't I just fix? Well, it's kind of like trying to fix a Yugo by putting a V6 into it, you know. You might get it to run for a little while, but
there is the last few years of XP that you can upgrade to 7 and 8, but
yes,
very few.
Okay, that's a very good point. We're going to talk, matter of fact, a little bit more about this question that was posed on a CNET forum this last week of, you know, of somebody saying, I have to move from XP. What do I do? Where do I go? Is it Linux or what else? Gary?
Well, you know, we all have otherwise fairly nice, still working equipment, and something, one little thing has gone wrong. I've got an HP printer, all-in-one, really nice, bought it a few years ago. My wireless card is bad. How do I, you know, do I, printers are pretty cheap, right?
Right.
So this was about $100 because it was really nice instead of the cheaper ones. And I should just go out and replace it, but I really don't want to
printers.
Because everything else works.
You know, we don't really, we'll help customers with printers. We don't fix printers.
Right.
There's been establishments by my place that fixes them, but they charge money up front.
Yeah, way and more than
nine times out of ten, you're going to be told that it can't be fixed, and the money's not going to come back.
And you
to
could
you.
Take that $150, perhaps,
correct.
And go and buy one.
And go buy a pretty yeah. decent HP, for instance, or Brothers. Or
so
whatever.
We'll fix them for people, but rarely do we charge.
Right,
you know,
but using that as the analogy, there's a lot of times you must see computers where you kind of go, yeah, I could fix this, but why don't you just go buy some new technology, put an extra $100 with it, and now you've got it completely up to date.
A lot of times it's the programs that the people have on them mm-hmm. that they don't want to lose.
Yes.
They paid all that money
yes.
for it.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a good reason, right?
Correct.
Yep. I've seen this so often, the calls, like people with, remember the sewing machine, the lady who had yes. the sewing machine with yes. special programs on it that wouldn't run on, that's yeah, her, so often the problem.
Her computer connected to the sewing machine, and it was almost like a functioning as a CAD-CAM program for the sewing machine.
Exactly,
right?
Because so, the stitches and things like
yeah,
that.
So it had the design
I want
all
to get,
on the computer.
Jeff, get back to a question that Cal asked you, which is, you know, about being in the business of a computer repair shop, being it would seem almost like a death wish at a time when computers are so disposable, like throwaway. But I'm understanding from some people I've talked to that computer businesses, the repair shops, are actually coming back around.
Yeah, we've seen an increase in business over the years. And it's they don't want to go into the big stores. They want the personal touch.
Sure.
And I get a lot of return customers that they'll come back and they'll buy from me before they go to the big, you know, the big ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, because computers, rather than just another piece of hardware, very often are kind of personal. You think that's it?
Well, yeah. That and the fact of the matter is that you have to deal with two things. You have to deal with the problem of the computer itself, and you also have to deal with the challenge of what exists between that keyboard and the chair. And it's a combination of sensitivity to that person, yeah. reading that person, going
yes.
like, okay, I see your level, I see where you're at in this whole technology thing. And then what Jeff does and a lot of the other independents will do is to take that information and say, okay, I know what your hardware problem is, and I can kind of see what your software problem is. And if they're really talented, they know how to bring those two together so that they can resolve that problem.
Yeah.
And the person that's sitting there feels comfortable
yeah.
that they're getting a service,
mm-hmm.
they're getting a fair trade for their money, and they walk away as a contented customer.
It almost seems, Jeff, that as much as skill is important in your doing the repairs, diagnosing the problem, I
correct.
Think, is almost the more important part.
We give free estimates, free diagnosis on everything. We never charge. Even if we have to tear it apart, we don't charge.
So I have a question, right? A lot of times, I'll bet that people will bring something in and you realize that you have a picnic on your hands, right?
Yes.
A picnic, which is problem in chair, not in computer,
yeah.
right?
That's what you're
wow.
trying to
So, I mean, you know, it's still a real problem. Do you provide some training? How do you help people realize that, hey, all they have to do is learn a little bit here, and can you teach them?
Yeah, I do. I mean, to an extent. I'll spend 30 minutes, you know, 45 minutes yeah. with somebody, especially if they're buying it for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's the personal touch. They want it,
yeah.
and, you know, we give it to them.
When we come back, we're talking about Jeff Harder, by the way, who is our co-pilot today. He's going to be with us answering questions, by the way, coming up in our second hour.
So ask Hardwick questions.
Yeah. That's right. Our second hour is dedicated to your phone calls and questions. And Jeff Harder from PC Gladiator is going to be in town. When we come back, another question for you about the name PC Gladiator, where that came from, and about Google reviews, which seem to be very important to you. Just a moment. We'll be back. Thank you very much for being with us. But hey, thank you, Crystal Price, smiling at me. She's getting her tonsils all tuned for the next hour to greet you on the phone when you give her a call. And by the way, that number is 800-859-0957. And got a lot of great talent in here to answer your questions.
Did you say tuned tonsils?
Tonsils tuned, yes.
All right.
Rich Lisinski, thank you very much.
we were talking about tuning
Jeff
computers.
Harder, by the way, is in the studio here, buttery.
Yeah, we're talking about tuning computers. Yeah, I guess you could.
But
tune
not a
tonsils.
Tuna in a computer.
Yeah, good point.
Oh,
yeah.
Here we go.
Okay, here we
all
go.
All right.
There's something fishy about that last
pull it
joke.
Back. Oh, jeez, pull it back. By the way, Cal has a very important announcement about a very important anniversary and a big change coming to the Mac Group in Detroit. We'll do that
okay, we'll do
the
next
hour.
Okay, we'll do it in the next hour, yeah, sure.
next hour. Okay. Jeff Harder's with us from PC Gladiator. Jeff is in Livonia. Jeff, we have links on our homepage at internetadvisor.net to your webpage, so people can go there to find out where you are. You're on the west side of Detroit. Just kind of quickly tell people where you're at.
We are north of Westland Mall on Wayne Road, 9003. We're actually an old 7-Eleven. We're just down from the new 7-Eleven. And our phone number is 734-469-4057. And we fix all computers, laptops, desktops. We also fix the Apple products, iPhones, iPads. And we're also a recycling drop-off center.
So when you fix an iPad or especially an iPhone, most of the time, it's a screen break, isn't it? People shatter their screens?
Screen or LCD combined.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and you can fix the screen? I don't have to send it back and pay $100.
Nope.
That is nice to hear.
No, you can take it in and pay $100. No, just kidding.
What would something like that cost typically? If I wanted just my iPhone screen replaced,
5S. It's about $85 to $90.
Okay, but, so it's still a lot cheaper. If I were to break it the first year or so, to go out and replace that because I'm still on.
Yeah, it was hundreds.
Yeah, it was.
Paid
$400 or $500 or more.
What is the typical turnaround time on a repair like that?
Probably an hour.
Hey, that's better than sending it back in the mail.
Oh, man. No kidding.
Wow. No kidding.
You also sell a lot of used computers as well. So when you say used, like how far back do you go when you're selling
them? Foster. Previously owned.
Oh, thank you. Excuse me.
We
certified pre-owned. Can you certify those?
Actually, at the beginning of this year, I was trying to liquidate all the XP because I knew what was happening, and I believe it was April. But about a month back, I had 100 used laptops, and I'm probably down to about 70 right now.
Okay.
You know, I might have 6 XP, 20 Vista, 30 or 40 Windows 7, and then a handful of 8.
In terms of manufacturers, do you any particular one that you like better than other for turning it back around? Like, I know Shane likes Lenovo's because he says, from his experience, they're really good in terms of standing behind the warranties.
I do like Lenovo's. HP's had its problems in the past, so I try to stay away from the certain models. The DV6000, 9000, we all know that model. Everybody has its good and its bad models. But, Toshiba, I like Toshiba a lot.
Some are just easier to work on, aren't they?
Yeah, but Toshiba's got a notorious problem with hinges. They all break. Everyone will break.
Ed, who was in, if he'd be sitting right next to you, he would be saying amen to that.
As soon as it comes in the door, I say hinges. And we actually have a fix for it. It's not a... the right fix, but it's a cheap fix.
The customers like it.
So.
Does that fix come with a roll of duct tape? No, I'm just kidding.
It's actually fascinating. We I'll even tell you how we do it. We actually take it apart, and the screws they were going down into the plastic.
Yes,
the plastic breaks. So what we do is we drill it out, and we come up through the bottom and use those same tabs that were in the plastic.
Right.
And then we put some nice felt over the bottom for it. But, we also tell them we can fix that.
It's
about $100. We got to buy a base. We got to tear it all apart. But the alternative is probably like a $40, $50 fix.
That's very nice. Very nice to hear. Now, you mentioned recycling. And I guess I kind of have a horrifying when I hear that because typically, we've seen the specials on TV where essentially a beach goes into a big dumpster, gets hauled off to some foreign country where poor people are, sucking in these fumes as they try to weld off or probably melt off some of the parts. What is responsible?
Like Saginaw County or something. Yeah.
What's responsible recycling to your way of thinking?
I have a company that comes in about once a month and takes all my recycling, and I'm assured that nothing goes into a landfill. I personally haven't seen it.
But that's okay.
You can drop off anything except CRTs and
CRTs, by the way, are the big old cathode ray tubes. That's the big honking ones that are a doorstop better.
Jeff, the question that I have for you that many people ask me, I'm going to recycle my old computer.
Mm-hmm.
What about that data on my hard drive? How do you handle that?
If you were to bring it into my shop, we take it out for you if you want it. I personally, last I checked, I have 400 hard drives in my back room. They're all bad, or they need to be disposed of. I don't want to sell them to a scrapper because I don't trust it. But essentially, I'm going to have to pay a dollar or two a piece to have these shredded. And I want to be there when they're shredded. Maybe I'll have you guys, you know, maybe we can do a podcast from the shredder.
There we go. Oh, and really? You can actually shred?
Yeah, and you got to pay for it. So, I'm looking at $800 to shred these.
Yeah, wow. There's some companies will buy what they call a degausser.
Rich. Which is a big magnet. Big we magnet. Used to use those yep. in radio to clean carts before
yep,
we
exactly. A lot of people just use a drill press. Right?
Yeah, we've experimented
and just drill through it
with heavy magnets, and you know we've tried to get the data after that, and we still could. So
ouch, yeah. Really?
So a drill press or something like that, a big hammer, right?
Yeah, big hammer.
you physically have to break the platens inside or something like that.
Correct.
The platens, actually,
yeah. Correct
for the information.
Or you could unscrew every single one of them.
There are some decent programs today though that will erase them, aren't there?
Well, yeah, but he's talking about units that aren't—they're not actually spinning, but they still have data on them.
Right.
Yeah. So the other way I've heard that I've done in the past is a blowtorch. Just heat that sucker up till it melts. Yeah. A hole through it, and that
just
got to
stop it from spinning, right?
Or like the Department of Justice does, they take them over to Ford's foundry and lobs them into the furnace. And they just melt them away that
but
way.
But the point is you have to physically destroy them.
Yeah, you have to make it so there's no way possible for
Jeff,
them to read the data.
We're coming up pretty close on the break, and then after that you're going to be part of our team here answering people's questions. I'm curious. I noticed before that you had something on your website about Google reviews being important. First of all, I didn't know you could do reviews on Google about places, like, for instance, your computer shop, PC Gladiator.
Yeah, I wish we would have pushed it from when we opened, but I've been asking I ask everybody when they leave, but we only have around 22 reviews, but it's a opportunity for the customer to leave an honest review, good or bad.
So how do you do that with Google?
I think you have to have a Gmail account.
Okay, if you have
and
a Gmail account.
As soon as you go to Google and put in PC Gladiator, you just click on it and leave a review and pick how many stars.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you can review it there. Okay, I know with Amazon you can do that, but this is about everything from books to the product that you buy there.
Yeah, and there's other outlets out there. There's Yelp.
Absolutely. That's one that I've used, for instance, at restaurants to give reviews, whether it was very good or very bad. But it's really important for you that word gets out to the community, that this is a good place to come. Do people refer to that when they come back?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Excellent. Jeff Harder, he's been our guest here on this part of the program. In order that you may get to know him and kind of get comfortable, because he's going to be here along with Gary Baker and Cal Carson to answer your questions when you call in at 800-859-0957. That's the number to call, 800-859-0957. Get on the horn right now and get in line. And when we come back after the news on the other side, Cal has an important announcement about the Mack Group here in Detroit and a very big change that's coming there. Stay tuned for that on the top of the hour. And also, again, 800-859-0957 is where you get your questions answered about your computers. Please join us this next hour for more of the Internet Advisor.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at www.internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. Don't forget to look for us on Facebook. Now, let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor. Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor, which is your hour. Why do I say that? Well, it's because when you call in, you set the agenda. This is a unique opportunity for you to get in touch with some great tech experts in here. Jeff Harder from PC Gladiator in Livonia is in here. He repairs computers all the time. Cal Carson's worked on MacBooks and PCs. Gary Baker's in here. Myself, Foster Brown. We're ready to answer your questions, 800-859-0957. Well, folks, here we are. We're settled in and ready to take your calls. Remember that the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And for this week and next week, these are the last 2 weeks,
that we will be here taking live calls. Now, all during the week, we take your email requests for help and are glad to give you the help there. But the nice thing is when you call in our show right now, for instance, at 800-859-0957, toll free from anywhere. When you call in, you help not only yourself, but often other people who have those questions have problems with some of the same things. So please don't be bashful. This is a unique opportunity you have. And in studio, we have Jeff Harder, who is with us as a guest co-host this week. And Jeff has been working for how many years? 6 years, is it, that you've been working at PC Gladiator in Livonia?
Storefront. This is our fifth year.
Fifth year, okay. But for a long time, you've been helping people out. As you said, started back in 2003, just kind of meeting people on Craigslist. And
first computer was 98.
There we go.
Where did that name come from? PC Gladiator.
I actually I bought that domain, I want to say it was probably before Millennium. I owned that domain and then...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, before the store came in.
Yeah. I mean, I owned it a long time.
That's cool.
I don't know. I don't know where I got it. I just, I'm fascinated with, you know, medieval and gladiators and, you know.
Well, it certainly, I mean, seems appropriate because you do battle the demons out there trying to get into computers. And a lot of times, how many times when people bring a computer in, is it really, you know, just put malware bytes on it or combo fix and you clean it up? And it's really not a hardware problem. It's really just cleaning up the viruses and the malware off of it?
Probably half the time.
Half the time. Yeah, I would have guessed at least half.
Yeah, a lot of the new browser redirectional problems and, you know, pop-ups.
That's interesting. So, if having those tools around would help a person not have to come in, but at the same time it brings you some business, so we're glad they came in the door.
I've actually had customers ask me, you know, do you put these viruses out there? They got to understand that that's not our only business. I mean, it's broken, you know, laptop screens. I have everyone in stock except the touch screens because everybody knows. I mean, this is a good time to talk about this. If you've got a touch screen laptop, you can't buy that screen.
Really?
It's proprietary to the person that invented the touchscreen. And he's got, I mean, the LCDs or the LEDs now, they're mass-produced by many manufacturers.
Okay.
The touchscreens are not mass-manufactured yet. They're still a copyright, a trademark, on those.
Which means, where will they be able to be repaired then? What are you saying?
I've had a few touchscreens come in. The only way is to buy a broken motherboard laptop and remove the top and use it on the on the laptop with the broken screen.
Well, in Windows 8.1 or from Windows 8 on, it just the way the interface is designed, you really need a touch screen, right?
Yeah.
So
but wait a minute, won't the companies obviously
The manufacturers can buy those screens.
I've actually tried. I've called Toshiba. I mean, I've been on the phone for hours. You cannot. If you look on eBay and the other avenues, you can buy them, but they're going to be used.
Right.
They don't
sell them to smaller shops like yours.
Yeah, I deal with one company that I buy all my screens through, and you know, I've never had a problem with one of their screens. That's why I go with them. But every time I call them, I ask them, when do you have touchscreens? You know, and they don't have one.
Wow.
So they
don't have any extras.
Right.
They don't sell them.
They don't sell them around, period.
You can't buy them in small
quantities. Only the OEMs can get the touch
screens. Okay, so, hey, folks, here's the number, 800-859-0957. We got a fellow from Livonia who's waiting to talk with you. His name is Joe. We'll get to that in just a second. But the rest of you folks, phone lines are open, and this will be the last of two times that you'll have to do these live call-ins. Cal, just quickly, about Mac Group, this is a big event coming up in 2 weeks.
Sure. 2 weeks from now, on August 24th, will be the 28th anniversary of Mac Group in Detroit that's been around. That's 336 meetings, and we've never, ever had one canceled. And during that entire time, our president, Terry White, has been in charge of the organization from the inception when he started downtown Detroit to where it is today out in Southfield. And We're going to be having a meeting on Yosemite, which is new OS is coming up.
That's
but
right.
It'll also be the announcement to let everyone know that after all that time and endurance and making that organization what it is with 400-plus members, Terry White will be stepping down as president of Mac Group.
Wow.
Mac Group will continue. It's not going to stop. But he's moving on to different opportunities, and he's also moving out of town. And he just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that.
Do we know who's going to be taking his place?
Player to be yet named.
It's hard to believe anybody could take his place.
Actually, yeah, I don't think true. Any one person
no,
can
no.
do it. And if you ask Terry, he will tell you that no one person kept that organization going.
Right.
It's a group of great volunteers that all work together to make sure that that meeting went off every month.
Yeah.
And we will continue to do so.
He was certainly the ringleader, right? He pulled it all together every month.
Oh, and he was just amazing.
I have a personal Absolutely. Testimonial. I have been to the Mac Group meeting and, matter of fact, went there a couple times. I went beforehand to the experts there, the geniuses.
Genius. Yep.
They have been wonderful. They spent hours with me on a particular hard drive problems I was having, and they were just absolutely fantastic. So, folks, get there an hour before the meeting, and you have a great time as well.
And it's one of the very first Mac groups, and it's MacGroup.org. It was registered
right.
very early on. So
yes,
they were
yes,
very,
so very early. You can find out more information at InternetAdvisor.net, which will link you to MacGroup.org as well.
All right, coming back in just a moment, we got a couple folks lined up. We've got Bob from Port Huron and Joe in Livonia, and you at 800-859-0957. All right, folks, let's dive into those calls, 800-859-0957. And let's say hello to Joe, who's been waiting patiently in Livonia. Joe, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How you doing?
Oh, I'm waking, still cooking.
Good.
All right, what can we do for you?
Well, first of all, thanks for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got one kind of an informational question in regards to PC Gladiator.
Sure.
And then one about a Macintosh.
Okay, and the question for Jeff Harder here about PC Gladiator is?
Right. I'm running an old G4 desktop, so if I wanted to bring it in and have you guys look at it, what would the normal charge be?
What is the upgrade? What are you looking to do?
I just want to have it checked out.
Oh, it's free. We never charge, ever, to look at anything. It's on my window in the front.
Oh, okay.
And everything is priced on my website. Mm-hmm. If you go to PCGladiator.com, it's there. The only thing, the prices might be higher than they are now, believe it or not. So some things are cheaper. Like
we have a link, by the way. We have a link to PC Gladiator. If you go to our homepage, InternetAdvisor.net, click on PC Gladiator, the name PC Gladiator, it'll take you right there.
Now, does your site actually give what parts and stuff you have in stock?
No, you'd have to call.
Okay.
I literally have thousands and thousands of parts.
Okay. I that's what I thought.
For Macs as well as PCs, right?
Macs, we have a lot, but...
not as much as the PC.
Not a lot of working stuff.
Okay.
You know, if we have Mac stuff, it's because it's got taken off of a broken one.
I got you. Okay, parts.
All righty. Now, the other question I've got, and this is probably going to be maybe you and or Cal... I'm running a G4 and I'm running 10.5.8, but I keep my activity window open and I keep seeing something called, and it's capital P, capital A, capital C, capital E listed in the processes, and it keeps going red on me. And I can't
Which means
find
it's
anything
hung up.
On the internet at all as to what it is, what it's supposed to do, etc.
So you, when it goes red like that, Joe, it is hanging up, right? It's not responding.
I'm assuming so.
That's what usually, and the activity monitor, that's usually what it means is when it goes red, it's hung up and it's not working.
Well, I'm not getting a spinning beach ball or anything, so that's why I'm
not
whether it's hung up. It's just, I mean, the message I get when I sit there and do the testing on it simply says that it's not working.
Okay.
What's the phrasing that it uses?
Cal?
And you say that says PACE, P-A-C-E?
That's correct.
Not familiar with that process at all. I've never, ever seen
well,
that before.
Well, it's not showing up on my 10.4. So I'm assuming that it was something that was created for 10.5, and I know it doesn't show up in my 10.8.
Hmm.
You know something? I'd have to do some research on that and probably get back to you next week on the show because I have not been familiar with that particular type of process. I've seen a bunch of them, but not that one.
I was going to say Caldwell Cutler. indicated to go to the Apple developer site, but I can't seem to find my way through there in terms of what I'm looking for.
Hey, Cal, can he come? He's in Port Huron. It's a little bit of
no,
a
no,
drive.
No, no, no. This is Joe in Livonia.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong one. Joe.
Yes, he can.
He could certainly come to the Mac group next week, right?
Sure.
Oh, I mean, I've been coming.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
He's a regular.
Oh, if you come earlier, you know how the drill works, Joe. If you come earlier, then you can also talk with somebody. And very often they have information there. They have seen those kind of problems or can
everybody I talk to, nobody seems to know what the heck it is.
Are you using an application called Propel Accelerator?
No.
Because that will show up in your operating system as PACE, too.
It'll show up as what?
PACE. It'll show up. Propel Accelerator.
It's an application.
I know I don't have that as something that I'm running.
Okay. Okay. All right, Joe. Well, we will try to say show up at the next meeting, and Cal will research it.
Yeah, I'll do some research, and you know, I can either post it out on our forum, or I'll have something for next week's show.
Okay, Joe. Thanks a million for calling. Take care of yourself. All right, from Port Huron, we have somebody calling in from up by the Blue Gate Bridge. Bob, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm running Windows XP 2003, and I know that it's not supported by Microsoft, but does that mean that I have security issues with passwords or other kinds of things?
No, the real problem, Bob, is that because Microsoft is no longer patching, when a vulnerability in the past and on anything current, when a vulnerability is found, they'll come up with a way to fix it, and they'll take and put the patch out in either a big service pack or just patch Tuesdays, and you'll be able to patch your system. They're no longer doing that as of April 8th this last spring. So what's happened is a couple of vulnerabilities have now been found. Well, all the bad guys know that and know that nobody's fixing it. So they're using those vulnerabilities to go after people that still have XP. And that doesn't mean that you're going to get hit tomorrow, right? Because there's still enough XPs out there that that they're taking their time, just going through them all and infecting them. But, sooner or later, somebody's going to get to you. And
Bob,
that's the real problem.
I'm just curious, why are you sticking with XP?
Just because it's what I have purchased and it works so well.
But you're talking about XP 2003. Is that the age of the machine as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff?
I had it upgraded a little bit. But what really got me going on it is the other night I got a telephone call about 8 o'clock in the evening from someone who I had difficult understanding, but I did get the call, and I did comprehend from it that they were saying that they knew that my computer was running slow.
Bob, I'm sorry you had the call, but this is perfect because, Jeff, we were just talking about this in the break. You want to talk about the phone call? Because it's bogus to start with, but go ahead.
Yeah, we get a lot of customers that say that they brought their computer in because they got a phone call that their computer was sending out a signal to Microsoft, and they were Microsoft, and they needed to take it over. And as soon as they take it over, they go to this place, so they show you have all these errors and disabled and running, and every computer has these errors. If I take you to a brand new computer, they're going to have them.
Well, and sometimes they're not errors at all.
No,
sometimes they're files that are needed to make the operating system
work. It's a spoof, way you cut it.
And I wanted to talk about this today because if you would have told that person that called you that you had a Mac or a MacBook, they would have hung up. They would have said, we got the wrong number. Because it's actually happened to me. They called my daughter's phone, and I said, my daughter has a Mac. And they actually hung up. So,
well, that's what I did. I ended up hanging up on it.
Good for you. But I'm so glad you brought this up, Bob, because you don't necessarily have a problem. Now, you might
have a
in
problem.
Not because of this phone call. And what's fascinating is they're grabbing these phone calls off of list anywhere. I mean, they may take a telephone book and close their eyes and flip it open and put a pen down and say, okay, call that person.
And they're calling at all hours, too.
Oh, yeah.
It could be any time.
Yeah, you got your call late at night, didn't you, Bob?
8 o'clock or so.
Yeah. See, this is folks, and people say, how did they know? They don't.
Did you let them take over your computer?
No, he hung up.
Oh.
No, I hung up.
Okay. Good for you.
And
good.
Normally what they tell you is, you know, it's going to be 150 or, I mean, they start at like 300 for a year, and then they keep getting you down until you say okay. But, you know, you really don't want to have anybody take over your computer.
No, not remotely. Right. There are people that you trust, first of all, then you give them control. Because remote control can be working with some companies. For instance, some shops like maybe Jeff's or somebody like
Comcast.
They might do that, yeah. Right. But the point is that, generally speaking, unless you know that person and trust them, do not give control to them. So you were very wise in doing that. I'm so glad that you told us that what was happening, because
it gives us an opportunity to talk about it on the air again, because there's a lot of other people that are in the same situation.
Not really much I can do with the Windows XP to do any more protection. I do have Norton through Comcast.
Yeah.
Is that sufficient?
Well, it certainly helps.
That the other companies that are out there, generally speaking, are trying to make an effort to protect PC users who are using XP. But the best protection you could have would be to invest a little bit of money, even in a used machine. And Bob, Jeff, let's talk about that when we come back in a moment.
Bob, you want to hang on for a second through our break here?
And
hang on, okay?
Yeah, we'll be right back. And for the rest of you, 800-859-0957. Thank you once again. Thank you to Crystal Price, who's answering the phones there. Thank you so much. And to Rich, thank you, Rosensky. And we have who is our new board operator there who's working with us? Tell me the name so I can acknowledge him. Michael Stets, thank you very much. Mike is, I think, kind of learning the ropes here, getting with the craziness. Thank you very much, Mike, for being with us.
You know what we should do next year?
Uh-oh.
We should find out how much technology is really involved in a Woodward Dream Cruise and just do a remote right out the side of Woodward, watch cars go by.
Yeah, would that be nice? Except we'd be interrupted a few times by
the noise level.
It would be fun.
My granddaughter posted on Facebook, they literally live a block off of Woodward. And she said, it's 11:30 at night.
And it's
when
crazy.
Will they ever turn the volume down?
Well, you know, speaking of technology and automobiles, next week I think I'm going to have access to a Chevy Volt. So that might be fun to find out how that works out.
Absolutely.
Very much so. Very much so. Okay, hey, listen, by the way, folks, again, we got about 25 minutes left on the show right now. And the phone line's open at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. The reason I'm repeating the number is that this is going to be the last of two live shows that we'll have. Second to last one, where you'll be able to call and during the show right now and talk with Cal Carson, Gary Baker, and Jeff Hart, who's with us.
Well, actually, this is the third from last one, right? We'll be able to...
That's true.
We have two more after this.
We have two more after this. Yep. But the point is that right now, if you've got a problem with your computer, boy, this is a great time to call in. It's like being able to walk into Jeff's shop and say, hey, this is my problem. What do I do about it? Now, we have... Bob with us from Port Huron. Bob, we've been talking about the situation of you being called late at night by these people who say, we've looked at your computer and it's sending out a signal and it says you've got all sorts of problems. That's a lot of nonsense. It's a scam. The brazenness of this, I think, in some ways just makes me crazy that they would be bold enough to do this. And how many people we have run into, Jeff, I know you were talking about it, who really take this seriously. You know, the first thing to think of is, oh, my goodness, what's wrong with my computer? Rather than, what does this knucklehead think? I'm going to believe him?
Yeah.
Well, they label themselves as Microsoft. You know, that's one of the...
And we're so used to believing people, right?
Absolutely.
You know, we want to be trusting. So, Bob, we asked Bob to stay with us after the break. So, Bob, welcome back.
Glad to have you here, Bob.
Glad to be there. Glad you're
all right,
here.
Good. You hadn't jumped off the Blue Water Bridge.
So,
no.
So one of the things...
Too high, too cold, too deep.
There you go.
No kidding. So one of the things we did want to talk to you about was Windows XP, right?
Yep.
Because there's... Hopefully you'll be good enough to stick with us here and answer some questions, because I think you probably represent a good share of people that are still out there using XP. And it's because it works for you and you like it, right?
Exactly. And then there's the investment. Now, Jeff, I'm going to talk. Somebody comes into your studio or into your shop in Livonia, a PC Gladiator, and has a situation like Bob's. What kind of recommendations can you give? And how much are we talking about putting out?
Well, we look at a couple things. It's got to meet the minimum requirements to go to 7 or 8. And that would be you've got to have a duo or a dual-core processor.
Right.
And you should have at least 2 gigs of RAM. If the processor is a single core, I recommend not upgrading. And if it, you know, the memory, the older you go, the more expensive it is. So you do not want to buy, you know, SD RAM.
And what's so crazy about that now is you can get 8 gigabytes of
eight 30 gigabytes bucks.
Of RAM for $30.
Yeah.
And instead
but it's got to go into a new machine.
It goes into a
new
machine.
Bob, why are you hesitant to make the change?
Oh, just expense and familiarity.
You'd be surprised. I mean, it'd be more expensive probably to keep yours running than it would be to go buy a new one. But do you remember when IE7 was out and IE8 wasn't out yet? And
No.
Okay, IE8 is Internet Explorer. I don't know if you use that or if you use Mozilla or Google, but basically if you had IE7 and IE8 came out and you didn't upgrade, IE7 didn't work anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm foreshadowing what's going to happen. Sooner or later, IE8's not going to work. And people are going to wonder why.
That's the Internet Explorer
version 8
that comes with XP.
Correct.
Works with XP.
And we're up to 11 on Windows
8. 9, 10, and 11 won't work with XP.
So what you're saying is, Bob, it's not just the computer that will begin to have problems, but it's going to be, for instance, the browser, the native browser is going to be having problems.
And you know, that was the brain. That was, you know, that was your updates. That was everything. You can use a third.
It is slower.
Okay.
So when I... You know, so I use a Surface Pro, which is a tablet-like, and I use it as my personal PC. It boots up in about 10 seconds.
It's amazing how quick.
It is so fast. It's got 8 gig of RAM in it, and I can't even imagine going back to an XP machine.
Oh, Cal's going off. All right, Cal.
No, but I mean, so the difference, until you know what the difference is in the speed that you have, right? Because you could get another computer, even if you were to buy a typical notebook computer, this difference in speed is going to be so great. I don't even know how to represent it.
Well, the difference is, I say this funny to you, Gary, but
you didn't see all the hand motions Cal was giving me here in studio. But
the difference in speed is more, in my opinion, people are more concerned about when it's actually running. They don't really care how fast it boots up because people are willing to wait in most cases. I mean, business environment, maybe it's different. But for most people, you know, you can just turn it on and get it going. But I think the biggest thing that you're going to gain from this whole deal that Gary's trying to say to you is that eventually, like everything else, did you ever own a computer before XP?
Bob?
Say again, please.
Did you ever own a computer before XP?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And why did you upgrade from there?
It just got too slow and didn't have the capabilities, didn't have the memory.
Brother, you're there again.
welcome to that same gate again, because now it's time to take that step again. Right. And I'm with you. It's going to be a money thing, but you know something?
Okay.
Eventually, you have to bite the bullet.
I want to get to Don, who's calling us from Sterling Heights, but before you go, Bob, Jeff, here's a question for you. Let me start first with you, Don. How much money would you be willing to put out for a new piece of computer? What would you say, roughly?
Would you spend
$250, $300, $350?
Well, I was looking at them today, and HPs and Dells, and, you know, they've got some sales on them. They're running for standalone units of $550, $600.
Yeah, what if I told you?
You could get some back-to-school
pretzels. Jeff has got some fingers.
I mean, you could buy brand new back-to-school for $275.
Yeah, you're pretty far away, but if you lived close... You'd bring in your computer. I swap all data for free if you buy from me. That's one of the trades we've had since we opened. $350 out the door, brand new Windows 8.1. That's moving all your data. And I also offer free antivirus, Trend Micro, for 1 year.
So that's $350 out the door. Now, because we have this other person I want to move on to. Bob, I want you just to hear. He's in Livonia.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of a drive.
It might be worth a ride for you to go there.
Tell him about the website and where you can get
information. Yeah, if you go to internetadvisor.net, our homepage, you can click on PC Gladiator. That's where Jeff is there. It says Meet Detroit's PC Gladiator. Just click on that word. It'll take you to his website, okay?
Now, that virus that he's taught, antivirus device, does that have any conflict with Norton that you get through Comcast?
Yeah, you can't use both, and if you're already getting Norton, just tell Jeff when you go in, and he won't put the Trend Micro in, because you can use the Norton if you want, and that's free forever, as long as you stay on Comcast.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, very good. I'm glad you had a chance to say that because I think
absolutely.
People yep. are so scared.
But there are some great back-to-school specials.
You know, you still get the one-year warranty. So if you're paying $275, $299 for a desktop, you have a one-year. Anything happens, you know.
Yep.
So.
Yep. That's great. Okay, let's go to Don from Sterling Heights. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Don, how can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is regarding a HP Compact. And 99% of the time when it boots up, I have to go into the network adapter over into crossover connection, disable it, and enable it every time to connect to the Internet. Is that something that can be corrected?
All right, Jeff.
What model do you have, Don?
I'm sorry, I don't have it with me, so I can't. I thought it was like 6100 possibly, but...
Is it Vista or is it 7?
It is Vista, yes.
Yeah, they had... basically what it is, it's either the card's going or the motherboard that's holding that card is going. That's that section of it. I'm going to tell you the best quick fix. Just go buy a wireless N adapter for $9-$10 on the Internet, throw it in the side and disable or take out your old wireless card. Five-minute fix, $10 fix.
So you, you hear what he's saying? Yeah, you can go and you can buy them.
Yeah, you go to...
It's a little micro USB. They're $10, Newegg or wherever you want to get it. Put it in your USB, take the old one out or disable it in Device Manager, and you'll never have the problem again.
There you are, my friend. Thanks for calling us, sir. Hey, folks, last chance. Give us a call, 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. Get a call in before we get out of here. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks to Mike Stetz, who's our engineer who's sticking in with us right now. Crystal Price, thank you also for answering the phone in there. And true to form, we had a whole bunch of people calling in at the end of the program, so we're going to get there quickly. I want to thank, first of all, Jeff Harder. Thank you so much for being here from PC Gladiator. It's been a ball.
Yeah, this is great.
Are you having fun yet?
Well, I've just warmed up.
And you need another 2 hours,
in the last,
right?
10 minutes, I'm warmed up.
Hey, and if you're hanging on the phone and we don't get to you on the air, if you like, we'll talk to you out off the air
as well.
Yeah,
we'll get you before we get up the program. So, by the way, Paul Sr. from Houston, he used to be up in Harbor Beach, is in Houston right now listening to us on the Internet, asked if you ship out of the area.
Currently I don't have like a store set up, but it depends what he's asking for.
Line. Okay.
You know, call me. And I'll entertain it.
That information, Paul, give him a call and see if he can help you that way. Okay. Let's go to Mark, who is calling us from Milford. Thank you, Mark, for being with us. What can we do for you?
Yeah, thank you. I have about a 7 or 8 year old Acer laptop.
Okay.
I don't know the model numbers. I'm in my car and I don't have them.
That's okay.
But it's starting to show its age a little bit, slowing down a little bit. And I don't use it for a whole lot of fancy stuff, but...
Yeah.
The question is, when does this become obsolete? That I'm forced to talk?
Good question. What operating system are you running?
Windows 7.
Okay, Windows 7. Okay, good question. Windows 7 on an Acer laptop that's about 7 or 8 years old. Guys, what are some thoughts?
It becomes obsolete when it won't do what you want it to do for you anymore. So if you find it's running too slow, if you find that you can't, there's certain applications you'd like to be able to use, but you can't use it on that machine. If you find that it's not meeting your needs as far as speed, then it's probably time for you to start looking around for another machine. It only becomes obsolete when it won't do the job you want it to do.
Right.
Now, Mark...
Unless, of course, the operating system's obsolete.
It sounds like you've upgraded that from Vista to 7, though.
No, I think it came with 7.
7 years ago?
No, not 7 years ago.
No, it'd be Vista.
Somewhere along the line. Did you buy it used?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I bought a new.
Okay, it may have come with an upgrade to 7 at some point, but the point is that right now you're running 7 on it, okay?
Which is good, right? Okay. That's a great thing.
All right, well, Jeff, any other thoughts in terms of how old is a... You said, for instance, Cal, if it doesn't do what you want it to do, time to stop.
Right. If you're a sort of person that maybe, let's say, you shoot a lot of home movies on digital video, and when you edit them, it takes you forever and ever and ever to be able to do it, or the software that you want to use is not going to run on that machine, then it's probably time to go look for a different machine.
Okay. Any other thoughts, Jeff?
Well, Mark, is it running slow to you?
It doesn't necessarily run slow. it boots up slow.
Okay.
And I use Comcast, use a regular, you know, home network, and it just seems to, like, it churns, two or three minutes, and boom.
I'm with Cal. If it's not performing to your needs, then that's the question, but I would probably get it cleaned up somewhere.
Yes.
And if it doesn't perform after that, then it's time.
And also, have you ever used msconfig? Have you ever used that?
No. Mark?
Okay, msconfig, simply go, if you go into that little box on the bottom left-hand side when you open up Windows 7, type in msconfig. MSConfig, it will take you to the startup menu. If the box is checked off, it says start everything up. Then what you want to do is to go over to the tab that will allow you to selectively only start the applications up that you want. And that can speed up your startup. Jeff?
And also, I got a new one to the game other than Malwarebytes. This is a fresh one. If you live 10 miles from my shop, you can listen, but if you're closer, please turn off right now. But AW Cleaner is a new one.
ADW Cleaner.
Correct. This is a new one that it pretty much does everything Malwarebytes does and more. I've been using it for a few months, and it's a real good software. Mark, you should run that and see what it finds. It not only does the registry, shortcuts, programs, it also resets your IE. Mozilla, Chrome, it does all that in one click of a button.
Excellent. I think it's free, but you can also, it's for a donation, I believe, right?
Yeah.
A donation. But that would be a good thing to run before you make any other decisions, Mark, okay?
What's the name of it?
It's called ADW Cleaner. And by the way, I will put that on our homepage under the show notes so that you can, when you get home, you can take a look at that. Go to internetadvisor.net and you'll find it marked up there. Okay. Let's see. John in Fremont, how can we help you? Whoops. Looks like we may have lost you. Let's go to,
Jerry.
Jerry. How you doing, Jerry? My glasses are really bad.
Hello. Are we together?
Yes, we are. How can we help you, Jerry?
I called you about 6 weeks ago. You told me to call AT&T and get a new gateway because I was having trouble connecting to the network. Okay. I did that. It's beautiful. It works fine.
Wonderful.
About the same time, though, Since then, I cannot sync my iPhone with my computer. It said I'm not connected. Is that something because of the address of the new network that I have and the new gateway? How would I be able to get back to being able to sync again my iPhone with my computer?
Are you trying to sync the iPhone to the computer wirelessly?
Yes. I've done that before over the last, I've had it 4 years.
Does your iPhone connect wirelessly to your new gateway? Okay, and then your computer, it also connects wirelessly to the new gateway as well? Or is it wired to the gateway?
I'm sorry, say it again, excuse me?
You have the computer talking to the gateway wirelessly or wired?
No, wirelessly.
Okay.
Wirelessly.
Okay.
Okay. What operating system are you running on the computer?
It's Windows 7.
Okay.
And you're trying to sync it to the computer through iTunes?
Yes, through iTunes, correct. And I've been doing that for years.
What version of iTunes do you have on the computer currently?
Oh, I don't know. It's the latest one. I always update to the latest version, so whatever it is.
Okay, because a version 11 just came out recently. When was the last time you updated it?
I updated iTunes here about just a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks.
Okay.
Okay.
What you need to do is make sure that your computer is broadcasting wirelessly as well, and then try and see if you can connect by going into settings on your iPhone and look at wireless networks and see if your computer is listed in there.
Okay. I'm sorry.
See if your network is listed in there.
Look where to see if it's listed.
On the iPhone, you're going to tap on settings.
Right,
and then you're going to look under wireless networks, and you want to make sure that the phone is connected to the same wireless network as the computer.
Gotcha.
Okay. Because that may be the problem is that it's connecting to the old one, and when you change the gateway or the modem, it didn't register that, and you just need to change it.
You know, that could be the problem, too, because I was trying to print from my phone, and I couldn't print because it didn't recognize the printer.
That's and you're going to have to do the same thing with the printer, too.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you for giving us that call. That would be just a changing that. Okay, we got John from Fremont. John, I'm glad we got you back. Quickly, how can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
I like to read LucyAnn.com, and recently I've been having a full-page pop-up. It's a bogus pop-up from Java. I was wondering if there's some way to block.
What do you use, Internet Explorer or Chrome?
I tell you what, it happens on Internet Explorer, Chrome, and
okay,
Firefox.
Real quick. Chrome, I want you to use Chrome and use AdBlocker.
Okay.
Very, very powerful.
Absolutely. It's a good
add-on.
Extension to put onto Chrome.
However, he may also be experiencing, he has Java, and they want to update. And he may want to update Java.
I did.
So you did. So this is a bogus pop-up there.
John, hang on the phone, and we'll get back and talk with you and wrap this up properly with you, okay?
Thank you.
All right, we'll do that in just a second. Folks, thank you so much. Jeff Harder, it's been a ball, and you've loosened up, man. You got it now.
Yeah, I love this.
You have your radio mojo officially.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for being here from PC Gladiator in Livonia. Gary, thank you so much for being here. And Cal as well. And all of you out there, thank you very much for the happy birthday wishes. And have a piece of virtual cake. It's at InternetAdvisor.net.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.